joined next to us is the Pirates general manager, Neil Huntington. This is absolutely his favorite show of the year. I just can't. You probably couldn't sleep last night.
Well, for a different reason, but no, absolutely. It is a great time of the year, and you think about the ebb and flow of this club, and sorry for being a little bit late. Slow elevators on both ends got me. Normally, no, I cut it close, but today I was a little bit late. And
no problem.
You think about where we were, May 17th. We're 26-17. We're a half game up. We've just played solid baseball to put ourselves right in the middle of a pennant race, and you feel like things are going pretty well. Padres and Reds are our next two opponents. Knowing full well that 30, I think it was 30 of the next 33 games are against teams that are 500 or better, and knowing that that is your, typically, your test. We unfortunately then went, 14 and 31, I think it was, to fall from 9 games over to 7 games under. We fell 12 and a half games out of the division, 9 games out of the wild card. We're sitting in 7th place or 8th place, I think it was, in the wild card. And the week before the All-Star break, and this club has just absolutely rallied, and they've rallied around each other. We've been very clean the last 30 games. We've got the 5th best record in baseball. The last 10 or 20, we're tied for 1st or 2nd. And we're playing good, clean baseball. We're doing what we did early. We're figuring out a way to win games. We're figuring out a way to beat the teams we're supposed to beat, and we're beating the teams that we're not necessarily supposed to beat. And with a trade deadline on the horizon, as I said last weekend, and really as I'd said every weekend up until that July 8th show and meeting with the media, we were looking to add to this club, and they deserve all the credit in the world. They've fought back. They've been resilient. They've just done a remarkable job of going out and winning. We've put ourselves now, we're in third place in the division, 6 games out instead of 12 and a half. We're really in fourth place in the wild card, 3 games out, but we've put ourselves within striking distance, and that's just an awesome testament to these guys and those players.
So, Neil, yeah, you said a few weeks ago you're looking to add, but then, I mean, you hinted on one of your shows that, hey, we got to be realistic. So now, what's the state of the Pirates, and what's your state of mind?
Well, we'd love to add, and we really like this core. What's great about this core is the large majority of it is under contract for next year. There's very few players that are in their last year of contract with us. There's another wave of players coming behind to help this club get better. So we would absolutely love to add to this year's club. We'd love to add guys that can add to this year's club, next year's club, and in a perfect world beyond. We'd love to enhance this club. We'd also love to enhance future clubs. But we know there's cost that comes with that, and we're working down that pathway now to see what makes sense in the short term, to see what makes sense as we look forward to everything in our power to bring the playoffs back to Pittsburgh and to bring ideally a World Series winner back to Pittsburgh here as quickly as possible.
So has your mindset changed in the past? Well, because this is really, I think in your tenure, have you seen anything like this, what this club has done, this hot streak?
Well, what's interesting is you go back to 14, and in 2014, we had about a 20% chance to make the playoffs. The team that was in first place about that time had a 90% chance to make the playoffs. And as we started play, I think before this Mets series, we had about a 20% chance to make the playoffs. And again, this is not our odds. This is some of the external odds, whether it's ESPN or Baseball Prospectus or those websites that put playoff odds out there. We had about a 20% chance to make the playoffs, even after the remarkable run. But we also had that similar in late August in 2014, and we went on a great run in 2014 to put ourselves, I think we were 3 games over 500 at some point in August in 14, and we finished really strong, made the postseason, obviously lost in the wild card that year, but we did. We made a great late push. Now, we've made this push, which is awesome and a testament to this group and these guys, and we still have a lot of baseball left ahead of us, and again, if we can add to that, we would love to add to that. Again, July 1st, when we did our show on July 1st, I was still saying we'd like to add to this club. We then hit the low point of the season on July 8th, and we were out of it. Browning, I mean, let's be honest. Without an incredible run like we have had, which is, or these guys have had, we were out of it. And so we weren't waving the white flag at that point in time, but we were much more realistic than optimistic, I think were the words that I used. And we needed to go on one of these runs, and we have. And again, has it shifted the mindset? The mindset has always been to try to add to this group and certainly add to each of the groups going forward if possible. The mindset shifted from, you know what, there doesn't make a ton of sense to move the expiring contracts given what role they're playing to help us win some games now. And if we can add to this group, we would like to do so.
Okay, you mentioned that the 20% chance to make the playoffs. Outside sources said that, whether it's FanGraphs or ESPN, whatever it might have been back in 2014. Was that at this time of year, or was that toward the end of August?
In 2014, it was toward the end of August. I don't remember the exact date. It was like August.
Because that's when I think you added on in 14 then. Didn't
14 we actually didn't. We were chasing a big prize in 14, and it took all of our prospects and all of our efforts. And while we were trying to work down parallel paths, we were chasing the one big prize, and it didn't work out. Actually, I just looked at it now. September 4th, we had 22% chance to make the playoffs in 2014, and the team that was in first place had a 93% chance to make the playoffs on August 25th, and obviously it flipped, and we made the playoffs, and that team didn't. As of July 24th, we had a 20% chance to make the playoffs with two teams ahead of us with 90% chance to make the playoffs and three other teams with 50% chances. So we were sitting in about eighth place in the wild card. But that's just trying to be realistic. But now the fun part jumps in here, and how do we continue to have this club roll? How do we help this club, and how do we look to push this club forward? But no, in 14 we actually didn't add. 13 is when we added Bird and Morneau right at the end of August. 15 is when we had a great trade deadline from a productivity standpoint of adding Happ and who turned out to be one of the most productive players added. Soria was a big add. Blanton pitched great for us down the stretch. Aramis Ramirez solidified third base. And Soria added a legitimate veteran back end bullpen guy. But no, in 14 we actually did not add. That team that, as it was, went on a great run well after the trade deadline, as a matter of fact.
That prize that you're talking about, you aren't able to say it, but all sources indicate that had to be David Price you're talking about. Now, so going back to that time and kind of chasing that so-called big prize, Neil, looking back at that and knowing what they were asking for in terms of prospects, do you regret not making the trade, maybe pulling a trigger on a David Price, say that he is the guy?
Well, given the outcome of 14 and losing in the wild card game and whether it was Price or other players that we were chasing, but we were pursuing bigger end returns than we typically had pursued at that point in time. And again, even in 15, we felt there were enough moving pieces and parts to that club that we could supplement versus just one player. We thought we had enough opportunity to incrementally upgrade in different places. But given that we lost in the wild card game, Brownie, I mean, the easy answer is, of course, we should regret it.
But
the
there's players, no the guarantee, players, though.
No, there's no guarantee, but you'd like to think there would have been a bump, and maybe that player that we pursued would have had a big impact in that one-game wild card, or maybe we would have been able to. And that was the year I think we're far enough out of the division that one player probably doesn't win us the division, so we're still probably talking the wild card game. But when you don't win it all, you always look back and what could you have done differently. Now, the interesting part of that is the players that were in that trade from our end would not be helping this club. Some of them wouldn't be helping this club anyway. Some would be, and so we'd be without them here in 2018.
So, Neil, at this point, do you see because you guys go through all the numbers and the projections internally, and you look at the ones that are external as well, but do you see a prize out there right now that you could get? Now, maybe you won't, but is there anybody out there that could be a difference maker that 2014 guy might have been?
Well, it's this club has a real solid core, and there's different points where we could incrementally upgrade. Is there the big name out there that makes sense? I mean, we're going to explore all options, as we do every year. And again, in 15, we didn't go in with the intent of just adding a few incremental upgrades. We went in with the intent to make this club better, and sometimes the reality of the market is incremental upgrades versus one big. In 14, we felt the best impact we could make on that club was the large ad. In 13, we were pursuing both avenues. In 12, we were pursuing both avenues. And so we will continue to do that. We'll look to see where something makes sense and where we can add to this club and how do we make the best in our minds impact on this club.
Do you feel like at some point, because you've been so steadfast and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, what you've done with this organization is still phenomenal. Looking at that run with what you've had under the constraints of the system. But do you feel at some point that this organization needs to do something, not just a splash to make a splash, because you've talked about that over the winter. You don't want to make the headlines in the winter. That doesn't do you any good. But something that convinces a base that, okay, you know what? They are kind of all in.
Well, we need to do everything in our power to put this organization in the best possible position to win a World Series and to win games. The moves for the sake of making moves tend to backfire. The moves where you go all in for today at the cost of significant cost to tomorrow, those don't always work out well in the long term. The Kansas Cities that win a World Series and go all in, that's awesome, man, and what a great story. And I think if any GM could be guaranteed he could trade his entire farm system and win a World Series, he probably would do that. The challenge is there is no guarantee when you get to October, and there are clubs that have gone all in, not won in October, and have set that franchise back for multiple years. And we understand that the fans want us to react emotionally. We understand that the players want us to react emotionally and to pour everything we can into a given club, and trust me, there are times we want to do that as well, and then we are reminded that history shows us the best way to win a World Series is to get to the playoffs as frequently as you can, because when you do get to October, the best team, more often than not, does not win. It's the hottest team, it's the healthiest team, it's the team that plays well in October is the team that wins the World Series. Kansas City had no business getting to the World Series twice, let alone winning it once. But they were the hot team. They were playing really well. They had an amazing comeback to get into that first World Series. And so we make moves with the intent to put ourselves in a position to get to the postseason with the idea of winning the World Series, not to try to prove to anybody, because in our minds, the best proof comes in winning ball games.
We'll continue with the Bucco General Manager, Neil Huntington Show, on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back at PNC Park. It's a kids' Sunday. Pirates and Mets, the Bucks, the hottest team in baseball these days. They have won 15 of 18. They're back in the race. And because, Neil, the teams that you're chasing, the Cubs and the Brewers, have made trades. They're talking about making more. Cubs get Jesse Chavez for the bullpen. Cole Hamels is going to make his debut against the Pirates coming up this week. The Brewers get Joaquin Soria for the bullpen. Mike Moustakas for the infield. Does that put pressure on you then to make some kind of a move?
You know, we acknowledge that they've made moves to improve their clubs. We continue to look to make moves to improve our club, and we have not found that move yet. We hope to before the trade deadline at 4 o'clock on the 31st. And if we do, that's awesome. And if we don't, we've determined that the best thing for this team, this organization, is sometimes the moves that you don't make.
Do you worry about upsetting team chemistry?
We do, in terms of not doing something and upsetting the players that way. We've tried the buy and sell move the last couple of years, where in 16 we added Felipe Vasquez and Taylor Hearn for Mark Melancon, as we were in a similar position and within striking distance, and we believed Tony Watson could step in. We believed we had the ability to backfill. Vasquez would step into the seventh inning, and we were able to fill the eighth and ninth, and Mark Melancon had been an exceptional closer, and that obviously didn't work, and we ended up falling short in 16. Last year, we traded Tony Watson for O'Neill Cruz, who is now recognized as one of our best prospects, and added Joaquin Benoit and George Contos. And again, we obviously fell short. So the buying and selling, when you're taking something more significant off your club than you're adding, that hasn't worked very well the last 2 years. And I recognize now that is probably chemistry related and players trying to figure out where we're going as an organization. 14 and 13 and 15. We try to learn from the good and the bad. And actually, I was wrong in 14. We ended up a couple games behind the Cardinals in the division. They had just been so good. We had trailed them, and you know they were the best team in baseball for those 3 years. We were the second best team in baseball, and maybe in addition there would have won the division for us. And so yes, I do need to take ownership of that as I think back in hindsight. I felt like we were a little further out of the division than we were. Maybe I've blocked that out of my mind because we were only a couple games out, and maybe that addition would have pushed us into the division and could have rewritten history. So we are cognizant of what the other teams are doing. We are cognizant of what our players are looking for us to do. If we don't do something, we'll be looking to make a run like we did in 14 when we didn't do anything and put ourselves into a postseason run. And you know, the interesting part of this is you look at what the Twins did a year ago, and they added a left-handed pitcher going into the deadline a week or so before the deadline, and then they went on a losing streak. They traded that left-handed pitcher for prospects, and then turned around and they went on an amazing run in August and September and put themselves in a playoff hunt. So We love this team. We love where this this group of players has a chance to go, and we will continue to look to add to the 18 club, and ideally we look to add guys that can help us 18 and beyond.
Do you also feel, Neil, I assume you do, that each year is different, that you can certainly look at history, learn from the past, but don't you also have to, even regardless of the numbers, the projections, the analytics, that maybe it's a feel for a team, just this is different than last year's club, different than 2016. This team seems to be surging unlike others.
Yeah, and again, we've had amazing runs. The 15 club had an amazing run. The 14 club, again, to go from three games over with a 20% chance to make the playoffs to putting itself in playoff position. We've had groups where we've had amazing runs and really good stretches of baseball. You win 98 games, you win 94 games, you're having really strong stretches of baseball, and those clubs did. And yes, each year is different, and this club is a really interesting club. As we talked about in the offseason, we believe this team had the makings of one of those teams to be playing in October, to be one of those 10 playoff teams. And for the first 43 games or so, it looked like we were on track, and then for the next 45 games we looked like a team that was much more on a pace to lose 90 games than to win 90 games, and this team has done a remarkable job and turned around, and to go from 41 and 48 to 55 and 51, to go from 12 and a half out to 6 out, or 9 out of a wild card to 3 out of a wild card, from 9th place or 8th place in the wild card to 4th place in the wild card, that's an awesome run, and it shows that this young group and the veterans that are here are capable of doing so. I think we have the third youngest team in the National League, average age-wise, and so maybe even in baseball. One of our guys mentioned that, but we are a young team, one of the youngest in baseball, and we would. We don't want to take for granted the fact that we are within striking distance of a playoff club, and we would like to add to this club if something makes sense.
More with the Bucco General Manager, Neil Huntington Show, PNC Park, Pirates Mets, here on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back with the Neil Huntington Show, the Pirates and the Mets. That non-waiver trade deadline coming up at 4 o'clock on Tuesday. So this is our last non-waiver trade show. We'll have another one coming up at the end of August. Neil has certainly made some deals prior to September the 1st. I don't think I've ever asked you this, Neil, of all the years we've been doing this, but just came to my mind. Have you ever sought out the input from the players themselves approaching a deadline? Maybe you talk to a veteran like a Freeze or a Cervelli or even some of the younger guys about what their take might be on it.
We certainly ask the staff, the coaches, and those that are in and around the players. Had some generic conversations to try to get a sense for the players' belief in the group that's in that locker room right now. And have had a few one-offs here and there. Never really sought input on what they think of a player that we're thinking about acquiring, because that puts them in an awkward spot, and you don't ever want to put a player in an awkward spot or set an expectation level or worse yet, let rumors fly. And our group, we believe, does a really nice job of keeping the conversations that we're having with multiple clubs on multiple fronts. We do a nice job of protecting that information because despite having to answer questions, we would very much prefer not to give our opposition the information on what we're looking to do. We'd rather deal team by team and not have generic information about what we're looking to do out there, because when we've done that, it feels like the asking price automatically goes up. If they know you're looking for X and they have X, they automatically ask for more for X. So our group does a nice job of protecting our conversations, and the leaks that do get out typically get out from the other end, and the fact that there's not a lot of news out there about us is not reflective of the number of conversations we're having.
That's good, actually, in your mind, then. You prefer
that. It's fantastic.
You don't see the Pirates mention any of these deals.
No, the fact that our group is protecting our information and protecting us as an organization to allow us to work behind the scenes is fantastic, absolutely.
Because sometimes, Neil, if you hear all these other teams, as from a fan's perspective, you hear all these other teams are mentioned as possible suitors, oh, the Pirates aren't involved, they're not even trying.
Exactly, and there are teams that, again, you look around the NFL draft and the information and the disinformation that gets out, there are teams that there are scouts that like to leak information to feel important, and that's a knock. I was a guy that was out scouting, and so I'm ripping what used to be a group of people that I was a part of, and I've never understood it. But sometimes you have to get information to get information. You have to give information to get information, and maybe that's a part of it. Then there are also clubs that we know play the market. Sellers and buyers play the market. They create a false sense of urgency when selling. They create a diminished market when buying, and there's as much mis and disinformation out there as possible. And there are times I actually feel badly for the writers and for the people reporting this, because they're only as good as their sources are going to be, and they get put in tough spots sometimes. And So it's a large game, and we'd love nothing more than to get stuff done quietly behind the scenes and to let our intent be known after we get something done.
The Neil Huntington Show, we're going to finish things up. A lot to get to in a short amount of time when we continue from PNC Park on the Pirates Baseball Network. We're back on the Neil Huntington Show. The Pirates general manager with us here in the booth, Pirates and Mets. Today, Joe Musgrove for the Pirates against Zach Wheeler. Neil, Corey Dickerson and Josh Bell both go on the disabled list. Was that a tough call for either or both?
In Corey's case, it was a tough call because there's a pretty good chance he's going to be ready to go at some point next week. The off day Monday, the off day on Thursday added to that, because if he's not ready to go until maybe Wednesday, then we would have played short for, six games and only have him for one. If he's ready to go on Tuesday, now we missed three games where Corey could have helped us, but instead he's on the disabled list. And it was the same dilemma with Josh Harrison. With Josh Harrison over the All-Star break, we didn't want to put him on the disabled list and have him sit healthy for 3 days. And that is the dilemma with Corey. With Josh Bell, we are optimistic, but we'll reassess in 10 days and see where we are. So there was no doubt Josh Bell was going to miss at least 10 days. We don't know where this is going to go from there. We'll see how the next week, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days plays out. But we're optimistic we're going to be okay with Josh Bell. But again, this was clearly going to be at least 10 days.
Should there be concern about Josh Harrison? He's not in the lineup again today.
In Josh's case, again, because we were aggressive in getting him back out, and Josh wanted to get back into the lineup as quickly as possible, and when pushed, he's probably going to feel it. And so the idea was, with the off day tomorrow, let's give him a day off today, give him 2 full days to get healthy, and come Tuesday should be ready to go. Now he's available off the bench, but we felt, especially, you know, and it also helped Adam Frazier with a nice night last night. So you roll him back out there and give Josh the extra day of from starting anyway. Ideally, he goes the whole game without playing, because we win a big game today. And he has 2 full days to get ready for Tuesday and then beyond.
Now you've got Austin Meadows back again. Today's in the lineup. Jose Osuna was in the lineup last night. Jordan Luplo played very well. I thought underrated. I don't think he got enough credit for how well he did. But do you feel that these young guys, Meadows in particular, swinging the bat better down at AAA?
Yeah, and in Osuna's case, he's had a terrific year in AAA. In Jordan Luplo's case, he's also had a terrific year down there. Ironically enough, Austin Meadows swung the bat better those 2 weeks that he was in the big leagues, better than at any stretch in AAA. He had a little bit of a tough go his first 8 or 9 games back in AAA, but the last 2 or 3 games, he swung the bat better. And has been more comfortable and given us some better at bats. So we felt that that was the right time to go ahead and bring Austin back up, and to, you know, rotate those the outfielders through and you know, try to maximize what the production we can get from left field in some combination of Meadows, Luplo, and you maybe even see Adam Frazier back out there again. Osuna, Freese, and Moran will split the time at third and first, depending upon some matchups. But again, Jose has scuffled up here this year, did a really nice job for us last year, but has continued to swing the bat very well at AAA.
Neil, Cervelli Diaz, are you going to try and do it kind of flip-flop every other day, see how that goes?
We want to see how each catcher is. And when Cervi went down, we gave Elias Diaz a lot of playing time. And I think it was 14 to 15 games. Now there were some off days in there in the All-Star break and everything. But he played a lot, and he's capable of that. But we want to make sure we don't push him too far. And in Cervi's case, we want to make sure we give him the time to get his feet back on the ground. It feels great. Again, no concussion issues, but just want to make sure we give him the time to get the feet back on the ground. And when they're both as productive as they are, Cervi wants to play every day. Diaz will never tell you this, but he wants to play every day as well. That's just what players do. And Clint will continue to work to balance those two to get as much production as we can out of that position.
Neil, in the final minute, as you have led up to the deadline, have you had a gut feel in the past, whether you're close, you're hot on something, and it came through, it fell through? And do you have a feel right now, between now and Tuesday, you're hot on something and you believe, you know what, I think we're going to get something done?
You know, our feel is we really would like to add to this club, and that's the feel that I have. In terms of, are we going to get something done? In year 11, we've been down this pathway so many times where teams, deals will come out of nowhere, where you've had a conversation, you didn't think it was going to lead anywhere, and then all of a sudden something changes on one end or the other and something comes together quickly. And we've also had so many deals where we felt like we were moving really close to getting a deal done, either in the buy or sell, when we were buying or selling back in the day, and nothing comes together. So it's really hard to handicap, but I do know we would love to add to this group if it makes sense, and we'll continue to work to do so.
Great stuff, Neil. Look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Brandon.
Neil Huntington Show every Sunday. Bucks and Mets are next on the Pirates Baseball Network.